Hello, and listeners, you are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, usually live from Hampton, Maine, is my co-host, Aunt Beth Woods. But Aunt Beth is a little busy today. Normally that would mean it's just a mini episode, but it's actually a full episode. And Aunt Beth has provided us with some pre-sent in answers to our questions, but we do have a guest. So live from Brooklyn, New York, please welcome to the show, Kiara Callahan. Kiara, how are you?
Hi, great to be here. You know, I wish I could be a little better with, you know, everything going on today, November 6th. But we're back in it, and we're ready to talk about some fun, spooky-themed movies and questions and getting into that. I know it's a little after the holiday, but you know what? I'm always down. It's my favorite holiday, personally, so it's definitely, ironically, a mood lightener.
Hopefully.
So, yeah. Well, yeah.
Kiara, you already set up what I was about to say. We're time delayed in a couple of ways. So this episode will be arriving in your feeds on Sunday, November 10th, but we're recording Wednesday, November 6th, one day after the election, which we won't get into. This is generally a politics-free show, so if you're feeling stressed out or anyway by the results, just as Kiara said, well, hopefully this will be something that'll lighten your mood a bit. And also,
we'll do our
best. Halloween, the All Hallows Eve, was a week and a half ago at this point, or well, just less than a week ago for us as we're recording. But anyway, this is our Halloween special episode. And, yeah, I'm in the mood for being spooky year-round, and that's why I invited Kiara on for this episode, because I'm pretty, she has the reputation for that as well.
That is, quite the compliment. I'd love to be known for that, definitely. I think I've, over the years, I've grown quite a rapport in the community. So, but I mean, I celebrated both weekends, you know, since it fell on a Thursday. Some people like to do the week before. Personally, I threw my party on the 2nd, which was 2 days after. So
November 2nd.
Yeah. So, it just how it worked out. But I was also partying the week beforehand. I had a costume for every occasion, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I like to, you know, start off strong with that.
Very good. Yeah, and the other reason, the other main reason I invited you on was because some of our loyal listeners may have noticed we have a new logo that we just debuted.
Yeah.
And the artist behind it is the person I'm speaking to.
Yeah.
And I've already gotten some great feedback. Let's see. My dad texted me the other day.
He said,
let me quote him exactly. If I can find the right text. Okay. He said, he asked me, who drew pictures/caricatures of you and Beth for That's Entertainment? And I told him who you were, and he said, it looks good.
Awesome. That's great to hear. I had a lot of fun making it, and it's gonna be a great addition to the pod, I think, for sure.
Yes. I feel that way already. So, yeah.
Great.
Thank you again for,
of course, my pleasure.
Up.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get Aunt Beth on the microphone. You know, hopefully the next time she and I are recording together, I'll get her to, to say what her reaction was as well.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear.
Okay. Well, should we get right
into it? Yeah, okay. I can't wait. Let's dive in.
So on That's Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic, a new one every episode, and discuss it according to the three Fs, first, favorite, and forever. It's our way of putting things into context. And today, as we already mentioned, our topic is Halloween, specifically pop culture Halloween. And here's a little intro I wrote up to set the scene. To paraphrase my favorite TV show of all time, the meaning of Halloween is the idea that Halloween has meaning, and it can mean whatever we want. For me, it used to mean trick-or-treating with my dad. Now it means dressing up as my favorite SNL characters. Thanks, Lorne. Wow, I feel so much better now. I guess we don't need to be stop motion anymore.
Awesome.
All right, and extra credit to all the listeners who knew what that reference was. Did you catch it, Kiara?
Your favorite TV show of all time?
Yes.
That's the reference? I don't think so. I would love some enlightenment, though.
Well, it will be revealed in a little bit because it's...
All right.
I'm going to get into it in one of our discussion topics that I have prepared. So you can maybe think it over and have another shot at a guess. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so first up is the first section where we talk about our earliest memories and kind of establish our relationship to the topic at hand. Oh, and yeah, okay. So what's our relationship to Halloween, especially regarding Halloween-related pop culture? And is it one of our favorite holidays? I think that question has already been answered.
Yeah, I guess so, a little bit. But I can definitely dive in more. Yeah, I'll let
our guests dive right into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, Halloween is easily my favorite holiday. I actually don't think I can remember a single conscious year of my life where I didn't dress up or, you know, have a blast with the entire month of October. And I grew up in Minnesota, so, you know, back then when I was, you know, trick-or-treating and going out when I was younger, it was, you know, October was freezing on Halloween night. So we always had to wear these gigantic, like, down coats over our costumes, and it was, you know, dark at 4 p.m. And I didn't care because I still wanted to show off my creations to the world. I always loved dressing up. And this is before any, you know, social media or whatnot. So I don't have a ton of documentation of all that. I wish I did. Maybe some digital cool pics camera photos that my mom took, but those are like lost in the ether, I think, at this point. But the memories definitely stick with me. Like, for example, on my younger side of the Halloween scope, when like dressing up and stuff, my costumes were obviously very tame when I was little, but then junior high, I started to be like, you know what, let me dig deeper, you know? And, I went as one year, I think it was seventh grade. I went as a character from Final Destination 3, the girl with the nails in the face. Mm-hmm. So I had to explain that one to the other kids since I saw those movies way too young, but... and my parents always dressed me up every year since I was a baby, so I was probably just destined to become a costume connoisseur, if you will.
Were they big Halloween people as well?
My dad, definitely. He likes, you know, he likes scary movies, and he liked to have fun with dressing up. But and my mom, she doesn't like the genre that much. She says, oh, it just hurts my heart. Like, I can't like it, but, she will, you know, understand that it's, our personalities differ in that, she respects it. And I would always love going to Spirit Halloween. I loved the decorations. I loved the scary music, the movies, even, you know, like there were some Halloween movies that were out when I was little, like obviously like Casper and Hocus Pocus and Halloween Town, the tame ones. But I wanted to
So you
jumpstart
say
on some of the
tame, but when I went to see Casper, I think I was seven, and my Aunt Mary took me and my brother and her son, my cousin, and my little sister, who I guess was 3 at the time, and she was freaking out. She was so
Oh,
scared of
yeah.
Casper. I think my aunt had to drive her home, while the rest of us.
Oh, but
There's
he
no
was
way
so
we just.
adorable. The human version. I mean, that's Devon Sawa. He was the teenage heartthrob of the early 90s, right?
He's
Him and
still
Jonathan
killing
Taylor
it.
Thomas. Yeah,
Devin's.
he was in the first Final Destination.
And
And he was
his.
Stan in Eminem's classic music video.
Oh, I don't think I realized that.
Yeah, he plays Stan in Eminem's Stan.
And more recently, he's been in the Chucky TV show.
Oh yeah. I actually didn't catch that one. I should probably watch it. I haven't heard a ton about it, but I feel like, I mean, I used to love the Chucky movies. Those were
I think the
those were
show,
silly but so fun.
I think the show is just as good.
Oh, okay. Good to know. I will definitely add that to my list. But yeah, that's a lot of my early how I fell in love with it. My dad used to let me watch scary movies when I was too young to be watching them, but I love them. For example, one movie that I do think is a staple. You know, some of the J-horror remakes are really, really hit or miss, but I think the original Ringu is one of the best horror movies. But the remake is actually pretty solid. It holds up if you rewatch it. It's very stylized and it is scary as hell for an 8-year-old. Oh my God, I couldn't. I wasn't. We had one of those TVs with the armoire that can cover the two shelves that cover the TV, like a hidden cupboard for the TV. And I would like whenever that movie would come on, or because it would be playing on DirecTV or something, and I'm like, I can't look at the TV right now. I was afraid of static.
Oh
But then
no.
I loved it. I loved it. I don't know what it was. I loved the feeling of the tension building and the dread. It was entertainment that I thought was very interesting to me as a young child because I just grew from that, I think.
Bit of personal trivia for me regarding The Ring. I believe the day that I saw that movie in the theater. That was the day that I first started wearing glasses.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Wow.
So I saw the static very clearly.
You saw way too much. I feel blurry would be a blessing in disguise in that
I think
regard.
it would maybe make
Some
it even
scenes.
creepier.
Yeah, I think so. But some of those scenes I wish I could unsee, but unfortunately they're burned into my psyche forever.
Good,
So,
good.
you know.
All right. Do you have any other things to say about
No,
early movies?
that wraps it up for me. Let's keep it rolling, I guess.
All right. Well, before we get into my memories, I'll reveal Aunt Beth's answers. She said is when she lived in Massachusetts, she loved Halloween. So this was actually when she grew up in New Jersey, so Massachusetts, we're talking her already adult years. She had a fantastic costume party for many years, and people would tell her how great the parties were. It was also a really fun holiday when her kids were young and went trick-or-treating. Now, not so much.
Oh, well,
Well, her kids are all
sometimes you grow out
grown
of
up
it.
and moved out, and
Yep.
I wonder if that means she doesn't get many trick-or-treaters.
Maybe not. I mean, I haven't seen any this year. Only you know, we put out a bowl of candy at the bar just to maybe if some people walked by with their parents or kids walked by with their parents and wanted to just like grab a handful, it's no big deal. But no one did. It was wild. Maybe it's just because of the area, but in previous years, I've seen lots of trick-or-treaters come through in the city, but I don't know. And living in Brooklyn, I live in a residential area, so it's a lot of kids in my neighborhood, a ton of kids, and I haven't seen any, which is a little disheartening, but maybe it's just a cultural thing, or I'm not sure, but who's to say?
I saw a decent number in my neighborhood this year, although none of them knocked on my door, which was a good thing. I didn't have any candy prepared. And these kids had some pretty scary costumes. I think I saw one Pennywise and one Chucky.
That's an easy costume for a kid. You don't even, you know, just get the wig and some overalls,
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
good. Or spray paint the kid's hair red. I don't know.
And just grab a knife out of the kitchen.
Exactly. Well, let's start with a plastic knife for sure.
I guess so. Okay, so for my Halloween memories, I also love Halloween, but I must admit it's not my number one favorite holiday. My top two are probably Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Those are two good ones as well, but
Maybe when you combine Halloween and Christmas, that's pretty fun too. But I think I would like
Terrifier
ho
3.
oh, well, there you go. Exactly. I think I bless you.
Excuse me.
I think I would love Halloween more if there was like time off, the same way that there is with Thanksgiving and Christmas. Like if we could just have a week off at the end of October. Just
That
to,
would be great. That
yeah.
would be really great.
I also I love horror movies, but I didn't get into them as early as you. It wasn't really until I was like in high school that I started really diving into them. But I kind of love them in a way that, you know how some people say like, oh, Mother's Day is once a year, but you should appreciate your mom year round, or Valentine's Day shouldn't be once a year. You should show your significant other love year round. And that's how I feel about horror movies vis-a-vis Halloween. Like, we should be watching horror movies year round, show them appreciation all the time.
Definitely. I don't think there's a shortage of them either. This year there have been bangers after banger. So even last year too, I mean this new generation of horror movies is actually it's moving away from the Blumhouse, you know, junk that were, you know, people were used to in the 2010s, but some people like those. Personally, I think they're a little bit schlocky. I go for more of like the elevated like thriller, you know, kind of like Hereditary and those type of movies, some A24 ones, you know, The Witch, even like The Lighthouse, stuff like that that makes you really it gets you thinking, you know. There's more cerebral type of work that goes into watching it, which I really enjoy because if I can think, if it makes me keeps me up at night and makes me think about it for weeks on end, then it did its job cinematically, in my opinion.
Well, I will stick up for the schlock of it. Even I think horror is my favorite genre, partly because I love even the crappy ones. Like, I
Yeah,
think.
I do too. Like the fun, they're fun bad, you know? That's part of why it's good. I wouldn't put them on my favorite lists, is what I mean. But to go and watch them and, you know, kind of make fun of them, or some that are so bad they're good, I do love that. I love a good, you know, crappy B movie. I won't turn my nose up at that.
Awesome. I imagine you're fun to watch movies in the theater with then. So as for my earliest costumes, so yeah, since it took me a while to get into scary stuff, my early costumes were tended farther away from the scary and more towards just like, friendly neighborhood superheroes, that sort of thing. So, like, I know I dressed up as Wolverine one year, and another year, basketball is my favorite sport, so I dressed up as Michael Jordan one year. And don't worry, people, I did not use blackface. I just kept the same skin tone and just wore a basketball jersey.
Well, that's definitely, let's hope for that one.
Okay. I guess, those are my memories. Shall we move on to the next section then?
Yes, let's do it.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Okay. Next up is a favorite, where, as you might guess, based on the word, we talk about our favorite examples from the topic at hand. So, we've kind of covered this already in the first section, some of what we're getting into. I think we've already established that we dress up as fictional characters and or celebrities for Halloween. So what are our favorite pop culture related Halloween costumes that we've ever worn? And do we have any spooky season viewing traditions? You know, like, what are our favorite Halloween themed movies, TV shows, or even music or books or whatever else scary pop culture. So yeah, back to you, Kiara.
Well, as I touched on a little bit, I do love to dress up, but I did not say that I usually have between 2 and 5 costumes every year, which some people, you know, their jaw drops at that. They're like, what? That's wild. And I'm like, well, Halloween's not just a day. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean,
I celebrate all week.
Anyone who follows you on Instagram knows that about you.
Yes. And I do. Some of them are just for the photo op. Some of them I end up going out in. Some of them are, you can't go out in because they don't have, that's not really an option.
They don't have a zipper, so you can't go to the bathroom.
Something like that. Or, you know, there's a prop miss, you know, I don't know, something like that. But
you don't want to be like Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl. Or it's like a floor-length
gown. Yeah, exactly. Although one of my costumes from last year, you could put in that category, but it was intentional. So, you know, I love going all out with the creativity, and it's honestly a very, really fun outlet for me, you know, as an artist, as a creative. I love doing anything that gets me in the holiday spirit that can be artistic. And I think dressing up and being creative with it can really, it's important for me to be able to have that outlet. And it's fun. It, you know, it is a form of art. And some of my faves of the past few years are, I did both Drew Barrymore and Rose McGowan from the original Scream. The year after I did, if you've seen the X trilogy, I did Maxine and Pearl.
And I've seen all of the examples you've said so far on your Instagram, and I was blown away, especially the last two you just mentioned.
Thank you very much. During the pandemic, my roommates and I, we were in lockdown. We did pretty much a stay home Halloween for the most part. So a lot of them were just for the photo op. So I didn't actually end up going out in any of these, but we kind of just found, cause I got, I have a box of wigs that I've been collecting for the last few years, and they're nice wigs. Like they're very high quality. Did I spend some of my, government check from the pandemic on them? Maybe a little bit, not ashamed of it. Was my unemployment going to creating my dress up box? Maybe a little bit. But we kind of just dug through what we had in the house and got creative with it. So from that, I put together Regina George from Mean Girls. We did The Craft, if you've seen that one. And which is a, you know, another 90s classic. Love that one. And what else? Mike Flanagan, Haunting of Bly Manor. Did a little character from that. There was one other one, but that one was more for, just for, you know, the photo op. So, Another year I did, if you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia, we got a group together to go as the Nightman Cometh, the gang doing the musical, and I was Dennis as Tiny Boy Baby Boy. So if you're not familiar, it's pretty much just a grown man wearing a giant baby blue onesie with stage blush on. So I just found an adult onesie from a costume shop, and it worked. It looked great. That one was a hit. And the one the Janet Jack, well, I don't want to use her as an example, but I went as the three-breasted alien from Total Recall. But that one was funny. That was more of a silly costume. I actually figured that one out within 2 hours. I didn't. I had exhausted all my costumes for that year, and I'm like, "What can I do that's quick?" And we have a funny boob prop in our house, so I'm like, "You know what? I could do something with this." And it was hilarious. It was a hit. Everyone loved that one. I love doing a mix of funny costumes and scary, just to, switch it up a little. But yeah, that's pretty much the extent of my costumage, or at least
And
my faves.
yeah, and I believe I've seen, I think I've seen all of the ones that you mentioned on your Instagram.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I believe they're all up there. Yeah.
the three-breasted alien one. Yeah, that one. I'm sure that was quite a hoot in person.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, but very much welcomed.
Right.
So what about any viewing traditions?
Yes, actually, just this past Sunday, after you host a party, you kind of want to decompress, you got to clean. And my roommates and I decided to continue our tradition of rewatching the entire Scream franchise, the original from '96. As I mentioned, I went as two characters before, but it's one of my favorite movies ever. And as a huge fan of the movies, it really gets us in a spooky mood. And it's really fun to watch them with people who've never seen them all. So we get to see their reactions to the reveals in real time, which is makes it so much more fun. It's just like the energy is great. And that's basically my main one. I do like to jump back into like some of the classic 80s slashers and some of the B movies that I love. I love Nightmare on Elm Street and The Thing.
That would be a great costume.
Hellraiser is one of my favorites also. I just love the practical effects are just some of my favorite parts of the genre. Especially in that era, it was just unmatched. Because when you get the CGI involved, is it more expensive? Maybe. Does it look better? I don't think so at all. I don't know if they're cutting corners in the practical effects area, or if AI is just going to take over completely and we don't need it anymore. But I do think there's some magic to that that AI can't create. I hope it doesn't become a lost art. And then some more movies that I've seen recently, and some of my, favorite viewing traditions that I like to do. Some of the sequels that I love, this has been a great year for sequels, actually. Two that I saw in October, actually, I really enjoyed, Smile 2 and Terrifier 3. They were both pretty substantially gory, so some people, don't really like that, but I think it's super fun. And Smile in particular had fantastic acting, like really clever, effective dread. The scares were great and awesome music. Terrifier 3 had great music as well, but Smile, the music is actually diegetic to the plot. And I saw it by myself in the theater, which some would say is bold. And I was absolutely scared silly, but I had a blast. I thought I had a great time.
Speaking of
That's how I wanted to
sequels,
spend mine. Yeah.
from this year, did you by any chance see the first Omen?
Yeah. I thought it was great. Especially that and Immaculate came out in the same week. The
Let's not
movie
get too
twins
political,
thing.
though.
I know.
But no, well, actually, for anyone who has seen those two movies, that I imagine you know what we're talking about there. But you know what? I will get political for a second, and I'll also get slightly spoilery and say that there were. So skip ahead a minute if you don't want these two movies spoiled. But one of them, it's part of the premise. But two movies that came out like the exact same time this year were both about a young American nun who goes to Rome and becomes impregnated against her will. Like, and I read one review of, I think it was Bilge Iberi's review in Vulture about the first Omen, and he's like, we need to have a discussion about as a society about why we've just had two movies like this released in back-to-back succession.
Yeah, that's happened a lot. If you look back, there's a whole you could probably find it on Reddit. There's a whole thread of, I think what they're called is like, I'll have to double check on that. I think it's like movie twins or something, or like cinema twins. It's something like that, where two movies are back to back in, released, and it's always jarring to me because I'm like, the
Like Deep
studios are
Impact
usually.
and Armageddon.
Yeah, that's one. Or oh,
There were
what's the
two
other one? The
volcano
other big
movies one
one.
year, I think.
Yeah. I'd love
Dante's
to.
Peak and Volcano.
Yeah, so I always found that to be a very interesting phenomenon. It's just, it's like a blockbuster opening across from a family video, or like a Starbucks opening next to a Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, it's just all competition. But I don't know. I'd love to dive more into that someday too, if I
If you
can
ever go
remember what
get
it's
a
called.
PhD in cinematic studies.
Yeah.
All right. Any other favorites or for you to dive into?
I guess there's just so many that I don't even know where to start. I do have like 1,000 scary movies that I really love, but oh, another one that I did see, I would say it was more of a thriller, but it's called Strange Darling. I loved that one. I thought it was really it's like a cat and mouse kind of thriller with a female protagonist that it just goes so south. It's fantastic. I really liked that one.
My favorite part of that was Ed Begley Jr. and Barbara Hershey as the weird, the goofy couple who
I
really
thought you
love
guys are mountain
breakfast.
people.
Yeah.
No, we're just old hippies. Yeah, It Follows is another one of my favorites. And Cabin in the Woods as well. I really do like the psychological ones. And if you can throw a little bit of comedy in there, more the merrier. I love that too.
Yeah, when I saw Cabin in the Woods in theaters, I was like, well, that's it. The horror genre is done. Where can we go from here?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's a 10 out of 10 for me. That was just so such an original concept. Not to spoil anything, so if you haven't watched Cabin in the Woods, it came out 2012, but it's still just as good. It holds up for sure. And it's got a great cast. Yeah, but that's what I got for that.
Awesome. Here's what Aunt Beth said. The famous people she is dressed up as include Raggedy Andy, Dolly Parton, Madonna, Elvira. Oh my gosh, lots of
That's
I didn't
a great
know
one.
My Aunt Beth to be so saucy, I guess.
and, right.
And her number one favorite, apparently, she went as the St. Pauli girl one year.
Oh, yeah. I actually went as that one year as well, 2013. I forgot to mention that. So we've got one in common, believe it or not.
Oh, actually, and that reminds me, I meant to say at the top of the show, so this show is, the podcast is called That's Entertainment because I co-host it with my aunt. And whenever there's an episode where she's not on, I always want to make sure I ask the guests, are you yourself an aunt, or do you have aunts that you bond over entertainment with?
I personally am not an aunt. I'm the oldest of two.
Maybe in the future?
In the future, probably. But again, not to get political, well, that's up in the air now. So... I don't really have, I have one aunt, but she's handicapped. So she doesn't, have, you know, the capacity to, she's nonverbal. So obviously I wouldn't be able to have conversations about that with her. But as far as like family friends that we call aunts, none that I really, that would be on my same wavelength. I think I don't think they would vibe with the stuff that I like. I don't know. They're a little more like a little more squeamish than me, apparently. So, you know,
well, at least you made a connection with my aunt by having mm-hmm. the St. Pauli girl in common. So you're allowed
exactly.
to stay on for the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me, because that was actually one costume I forgot about that I would have probably had to really rack my brain and think, what was I doing in October 2013? Because I would be like, I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I definitely lived in Minnesota then. So St. Pauli girl is, you know, I'm from St. Paul, born and raised. So it was a perfect addition. I was like, what's up the tip of my tongue that I can just pull out right now? All right, perfect.
And I also, when you mentioned you grew up in Minnesota and it was always mm-hmm. cold during Halloween, I visited Minneapolis and St. Paul one weekend, I think in 2011. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was working there for a few months and a few of us went to visit him. I think this was the second weekend in October and it was in the 60s and 70s all weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably 70 degrees right now, which is unheard of. I used to get frostbite coming home from walking from the school bus. So that's another thing to worry about.
It's about 70 we'll degrees see. In Brooklyn right now, too.
It sure is. It sure is. I wore a short sleeve t-shirt all day. Ugh. Thought I would need a coat. Nope.
Nope. I was sweating as I was out and about. I'm like, this should not be happening. I'm mm-hmm. it's nice. I don't have to bring a jacket, but I don't want to be sweating today.
Yeah.
Anyway, Aunt Beth also mentioned when her kids were younger, they always carved pumpkins and made Jello jugglers in a pumpkin mold.
Oh, fun.
But as for her viewing traditions, she's not as much of a horror hound as you and I are.
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah. Maybe that was why she was too scared to be on this episode.
you know, with the subject matter, I wouldn't be surprised. It's okay.
Hopefully she does listen, though. She usually listens to the episode she can't appear on, so I think hopefully mm-hmm. we haven't scared her too much.
Yeah.
And she also mentioned one of her earliest costumes that she can remember is Morticia Adams.
Another great one, another classic.
All right, as for my favorites, so I kind of developed a habit of dressing up as Saturday Night Live characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they're not usually the biggest ones. One year I dressed as Garth Algar because that was a quick and easy one. My dad had a wig and then I just needed jeans and a plaid shirt. So that was easy. But more recent years I've been a little more niche, I guess, in my selections. Mm-hmm. So maybe this might have been like 2016 and then maybe 2018. I dressed up as characters played by Larry David when he hosted a couple of times.
Yeah, love Larry David.
So one year I went as Kevin Roberts. Does anyone remember that sketch where he was like, he wore this bright orange suit and it was part of an FBI simulator where you had to, these new FBI recruits saw these random, these like animatronic people pop up and they had to decide quickly if they were a threat or not. And Larry David played Kevin Roberts, who was this weird guy who they didn't know if he was a threat or not because he was so strange. And he said things like, can a get a donut?
I love that. I love some Larry David. I'm not familiar with that character, but I've seen every episode of Curb multiple times.
Cool. Have you ever watched any of the SNL episodes hosted by Larry David? Or any of his Bernie Sanders appearances?
I've seen all the Bernies, but I'll have to go back and look because I kind of fell off SNL for a couple years there, so... But I'm sure back in the day, you know, in like the 80s, I'm sure he hosted once or twice.
Well, actually, he didn't host until...
Or in the 90s.
He never hosted in... Well, he was a writer for one year in the 80s, but he never hosted until like the late... Till the 2010s, around when he was showing up as Bernie.
Oh, okay. I thought he might have done one or two before that, but good to know. Interesting. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think he had like a terrible time when he was a writer on the show. And so I think he had a contentious history that he needed to get over for decades afterwards. It took him a while before he was finally in the right place to come back and host. And another, my other favorite costume that I did of a Larry David SNL character was Cousin CJ, which is from a sketch making fun of cheesy 90s sitcoms like Full House and Step by Step, those types of shows. Like Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney, when they were on, they had a series of sketches like that.
Yeah.
And as for my viewing traditions, now lately, the past few years, I've kind of... you know, I wish I had more time. Like when I'm home, I'm just catching up on all the like dozens of TV shows I watch. But I do try to watch like fill in the gaps of classic horror that I haven't seen. Like I've watched almost every movie in the Halloween series now. I think I've just got 2.5 left at this point. I started watching Halloween Resurrection. And I watched the one of Exorcist 2 recently.
It's been a while since I saw that one.
In the early 2010s, there was a new Paranormal Activity pretty much every year. So that was a theater going tradition for me. And then for TV, when it comes to Halloween TV episodes, they're usually, I think my favorites tend to be like sitcom episodes, so they're not too scary. Like, okay, returning back to the intro where I paraphrased my favorite show of all time, have you figured out what that was at all?
No, I'm stumped.
Okay, so I was talking about Community, which I'm bringing up back right now, because that Community has had a few pretty great Halloween episodes, especially Epidemiology, which is where they all turn into zombies after eating some tainted military food and ABBA music plays at the Halloween party. And then... Yeah, so I was paraphrasing a Christmas episode of Community, but that show did Halloween episodes well across the board. And also on TV, I loved, bringing it back to SNL again, One of my favorite bits is Adam Sandler offering last-minute costume ideas. And mm-hmm. I'm actually dressed as him right now. I'm wearing an orange T-shirt. So his last-minute costumes are ideas were stuff like crazy protractor beard or newspaper arm man, where he just used simple things around the house to make up an easy costume.
Yeah. Or a white T-shirt with "This is my costume" written on it.
Oh, well, actually, that's very similar to one year I wrote, or the opposite of a costume I did one year. I had a T-shirt and wrote on it. Oh, my God. I'll have to look it up because what I wrote was in French.
I actually saw another similar one to that I thought was a lot more clever. It's silly, but it said it's just a plain T-shirt written on it. Error 404, costume not found.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I wore a T-shirt and wrote "Ce n'est pas un costume de Halloween," which is French for "This is not a Halloween costume," which is a reference to the painting by Rene Magritte, "The Treachery of Images," which says mm-hmm. which has a picture of a pipe and says "This is not a pipe." Okay, and I've also got a couple of spooky music faves, like Werewolf Bar Mitzvah from
30 Rock.
From 30 Rock, yep.
It's a great one.
I've listened to that a few times the past
Always
few days.
Becoming men becoming wolves.
Don't sing too much. We'll have to pay royalties.
It's a great one. True.
And then one other song that I'll have to bleep from the Comedy Bang Bang podcast. Nick Weiger plays a relative of the guy who sang the Monster Mash, but he sings what was he claims is the original version called the Monster.
That's good.
Yeah, so if you're not averse to hearing a song about monsters getting it on, I heartily recommend listening to that.
That's good. I'll have to look at that one.
That's all I have to say for the favorite section. Shall we move on ahead to our next part?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, next up, we're going to take a trivia break. Aunt Beth sent a trivia question for us, and I have a trivia question. Did you come up with one as well?
I have a couple interesting ones that I thought of, but I don't know if it's... We'll listen to yours first, and we'll see how mine can gauge.
Okay. Well, I'll ask Aunt Beth's first. I wanted this question to be for both of us, but I accidentally looked at the answer when she sent it to me. But so I'll ask you, so at least one of us can take a stab at it. So before mm-hmm. people used pumpkins, which vegetable was traditionally carved each year for Halloween?
An apple?
No. Do you want a hint?
Or it has to be a vegetable. It can't be like any edible, carvable substance. I didn't want to say.
Any more guests, or do you want me to reveal it?
I mean, a squash, but a pumpkin is a squash, so
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a different one. It's a root vegetable.
Hmm.
Not as big as a pumpkin, at least not typically.
A turnip?
That is correct.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
At least according to whatever Aunt Beth looked up. And I've heard that bit of trivia before, so I guess it's true. Or I've just heard the same source repeated. So hopefully it's not an old wife's tale. Hopefully that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my trivia question. So this might be tough, but you being a Halloween queen and all, I wanted to give you a challenge, so we'll see how it goes. It's a two-part question. What movie holds the record for highest grossing opening on Halloween weekend? And what was previously number one? So box office weekend for either if Halloween fell on a weekend or the weekend preceding Halloween.
I don't know. That's hard.
I can give you some hints.
Okay, let's try a hint.
So the current number one came out just last year, actually, 2023. And okay. It is a horror movie. And the one it took the place of came out in 2011 and is not a horror movie.
Wait, can you read the question one more time so I can think about it even harder?
What movie holds the record for highest grossing opening weekend on Halloween weekend?
And it was last year. And yep. It took the place of one. Okay.
So what was the big horror movie last year?
Oh my God. There's so many, but I can't... It's like really on the... Like, it's obvious, but I can't... It's like right in front of my face, but it's one of those that I'm digging too deep.
Yeah. Do you want another hint?
Okay, last hint.
It had a very passionate built-in fan base. So it was based on something else, but it was the first movie in a planned series. There's at least one sequel on the way.
Oh, was it Five Nights at Freddy's?
That's it.
Oh my God! Okay, when you said built-in fan base, I'm like, okay, that one definitely. I didn't realize they were gonna do more sequels. Okay, I mean, I'm sure they would. It's a very popular.
Yeah, that means.
Wow. Okay, and do you know the 2011 movie?
Yeah, I wrote that down as well. This one's would be tough to get because it's not a horror movie. It just happened to be released in October, and like I'll give you a hint, but it was a spinoff in a long running animated series.
I'm not sure.
The lead character was a talking animal.
Garfield?
correct species. If you mispronounce...
Puss in Boots?
There you go.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah, I guess so. Spinoff of Shrek. Yeah, okay, cool.
All right. And you said you kind of had some trivia?
Yes. I had one main one, and then I had one that probably people won't get because it's based on a movie that I already mentioned in this that is brand new, just came out 2 weeks ago. But we'll see. Okay, the first one is... which singer from an 80s band performed the vocals for one of the biggest characters in Halloween of all time? Huge fan base. Lent his vocals.
Wait, to a Halloween movie? To Halloween Michael Myers?
To a Halloween movie. No, to a Halloween-themed, spooky... It's not technically, it's not a horror movie, but it's an animated movie and it's Halloween themed, but which 80s frontman lent his vocals to the main character of this movie?
AC/DC.
I can give you the year.
Sure. You need.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me the year.
1993.
Animated movie, you said?
Mm-hmm.
93 animated. That Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yes, it is. And the band is Oingo Boingo.
Oh.
And Danny Elfman,
yeah, Danny Elfman
had lent his vocals where he initially was not attached to voicing the character. He was only going to compose, as you know, he works frequently with Tim Burton. And so they loved his demo, and they were like, why don't you just do the actual voice? And it stuck, and he's like, all right. Because initially they were going to get an A-list actor. I forget who was attached to it, but they ended up just going with Danny, and he made it really iconic. I feel like he added something to it that was... it truly stood the test of time for sure.
Yes, very nice. I think I rewatched that a year or two ago. So it's kind of fresh in my mind. So you said you had one more bit of trivia?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. So this one I didn't write down because I'm like, I probably won't use it, but I'll try to wing it off the top of my head. I doubt anyone will even get it, but how do I word this? Okay. In this recently released horror movie, two actresses from a long-running movie franchise and TV show, and by long-running, I mean decades, appeared in this movie after playing the same character in both the reboot and the original film franchise, who were together in this movie, one playing a fictionalized version of herself. So in this recently released movie, there's two actresses. They both play the same role in this reboot and the original, one from the early 2000s and one from the 2010s. And they're both together in this movie that just came out 2 weeks ago. One of the actresses plays a fictionalized version of herself.
Huh.
And if you need a hint, the original movie is an action film. And it came out in 2000 and it stars three A-list actresses as the title characters. And there was a reboot not too long ago.
Charlie's Angels?
Yes! Charlie's Angels.
Oh, you're talking about Smile 2, because it's...
Yes, yes.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Naomi Scott
and Drew Barrymore, they played the same angels?
In the respective 2000 and 2019 original and reboot, and they are together in Smile 2 playing, Drew Barrymore plays herself in a scene.
Yes.
I thought that was an interesting little crossover.
I didn't pick
but
up
nice, you got it.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's what I have for that.
Okay, so that wraps up trivia. All right, so that brings us to the final section, which is forever.
Forever! Forever! Forever!
Where we take stock of where we are currently and look ahead to the future. So that means we're going to... So how was... We've already kind of talked about it. How was your 2024 Halloween? And did you wear... really killer costume or multiple costumes? And did you watch any new memorable Halloween movies or TV specials? And yeah, you've already talked about this, so I guess
I did cover that. However, I don't believe I mentioned the costumes that I did this year, which
Okay.
I'll just run those quick. So I did technically four costumes. One was a little bit last minute, but three that I really took time with. The first one was Demi Moore in The Substance, which if it just came out this year, easily my favorite of the year, and I hope we'll get some accolades around award season. It was a two-person costume. I went as Demi Moore, my friend went as Sue. So that one was great. I had the
I would
yellow
like to
coat.
see Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley nominated together, like as
Yeah.
one nomination, because
That would be.
they are one and the same.
Remember, you are one. Respect the balance, you know?
Yes.
All right, my second costume was Amy Dunn from Gone Girl, which I'm sure many have seen, David Fincher's thriller from 2013. Making the fake blood from scratch, though, could have gone a little smoother. I wanted to try something new because I needed a lot of it, and so I just poured it all over me, and it was it did stain, not as much as I thought it would, but I guess my formula wasn't as it was a little off, but I'm learning from mistakes. So next year, if I do something bloody, I won't have to worry about that. But that one was a hit. The third one was Debbie Thornberry from the 90s cartoon Wild Thornberries. I wore that one to work at the karaoke bar on actual Halloween. Some people didn't even recognize me, which I thought was both, you know, victorious because I did a good job and a little concerning, but simple enough. It was, you know, baggy jeans, orange top, green flannel. If you look it up, it's a really fun, easy costume. But the lace front wig really sold it. That was a hit. And then last but not least, my friend and I did a last minute lucha libre wrestler outfit, you know, with the masks, leotards, tights, capes. It was quite funny, and we sang Chop Suey dressed as that. So it was a nice little touch on Halloween night.
Is that a known as being a Lucha Libre song or anthem?
Nope, we just wanted to scream in a bar full of people wearing crazy outfits.
Well, no reason to make up an excuse for that.
Nope.
Well, okay, let's see what Aunt Beth said. It looks like she didn't dress up this year, but she did want to mention some favorite costumes that her party guests have dressed up as. Someone from the entomology department, her ex-husband was an entomology professor, so someone from his department dressed up as a dinner for two, and their table was complete with table settings and lots of insects.
Wow.
Another one is the Wydette family, which I think is an SNL sketch from the 70s about a family who have very wide bodies.
Oh. That's
And
funny. Okay. Yeah.
someone else dressed up as a Trivial Pursuit card, and so many others that she can't remember because she says people were always creative for their parties. As for me, I didn't really go out and dress up as much as I'd like to. I did wear on Halloween, just hanging out at home, I wore my Adam Sandler providing last minute costume suggestions costume. So that's just orange t-shirt basically. But I watched a couple of new TV specials. Family Guy had a pretty funny Halloween episode, and Solar Opposites. If anyone's not watching that's a great show about aliens on Hulu, and they've had a couple of great Halloween episodes. And one final question for everyone here. So if you could pitch your own unique movie and or TV episode for a spooky season, what would it be? So what did you come up with, Kiara?
Well, personally, I would love to see maybe some more anthology-based shows. I love stuff like Black Mirror and Masters of Horror, Tales from the Crypt, Twilight Zone, that kind of stuff. I think there's so much you can go with it. There's also one that Guillermo del Toro created, I think 2 years ago, called Cabinet of Curiosities. It's on Netflix. That I thought was great. If you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, and a lot of Mike Flanagan stuff, he does things like that as well. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we want to pull from reality, I think the world is scary enough as it is right now. So, but I would like to see more of that. There's a lot you can do with those. And I believe there is a new season of Black Mirror coming out early this next year. So I'm excited to
Yeah.
see that too.
I still have to get finish last season as they make the episodes so long and you have to
Yeah.
set aside an entire evening to watch them.
There's only like three of them, so it's like watching three movies back to back a little bit.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, so my suggestion, I was thinking of I mean, so many of my favorite shows have already had Halloween episodes, but I was like, I finally thought of one. It ended its run last year, I think, but it could come back for just a one-off special. I'm talking about the HBO show How To with John Wilson.
I love that show.
And I would love it if he did an episode called How to Celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I would definitely watch that.
Yeah, so for anyone besides us who, if you don't happen to know that show, it's about John Wilson is a documentary filmmaker, and each episode is like a how-to guide for various topics, but it kind of just it doesn't necessarily stay on that topic. It just spools off into various whimsical directions. And I would love to
A
see
lot
what.
of incredible found footage of that man.
Yes.
Very fun.
Yes, and I would love to know how he celebrates Halloween. Okay. So I think that just about does it. Feel free to listen to this episode now or wait until next Halloween or listen to it all year. I'm happy to have all my listeners. Aunt Beth and I love it whenever you listen to us. But yeah, any final Halloween thoughts before we wrap things up, Kiara?
I can't wait for next year. I'm already counting the days.
Any
But
costume plans in mind yet?
yes, actually, I do have a couple of group costumes as well as some solos. One thing we wanted to do this year, we didn't make it, but we're thinking of if you've seen Smiling Friends. An
I've
animated
heard of
show
it,
on
but I don't.
HBO. That would be a fun group costume. Also thought about Pac-Man and their ghosts. That would be fun. Possibly Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. That's on the list for my friend and I. So we'll see. I have a long time to get my bearings for my solo costumes, but usually they are movie related. So, if there's a movie that really resonates with me this year, you can bet that you'll see me next year decked out on my Instagram. And if you'd like to check that out, it's at Kiera Calla, KEARACALLA, all one word. So, I've got a lot of Halloween stuff on there if you want to check it out.
Yes, you do. I can attest to that. I have checked it out, and it's well worth it.
Thank you very much.
And that brings us into the wrap-up section where I ask myself and my guests if you have anything that you are doing or someone you know is doing that you'd like to promote, and if there's anything you'd like to recommend that you can enjoy with your aunts and or nephews, I guess besides all the Halloween related stuff we've just recommended. So here, anything to promote or recommend?
Right now, I'm not doing any performances at the moment, but if anyone lives in the Manhattan or New York area, If you've ever been to Baby Grand, which is an awesome karaoke bar that Jeff is quite familiar with, every Wednesday night we have live band karaoke as well as an open mic for singer-songwriters at the Lower East Side location. So if you're interested in any music-related stuff, that's definitely a fun outlet for you. So come on by, check it out, say hi to me. Looking forward to the next holiday,
Can they get a
which is
free
Thanksgiving.
song if they mention? Yeah.
Oh
Can they,
yeah, you don't
if
have to
they listen
pay.
to this episode, can they get a free song?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you have me in a verbal contract.
All right. Okay, and anything to recommend besides that?
I would say I mentioned earlier, but if you haven't gotten to see The Substance, it is a body horror, so it's not, I wouldn't say scary, but it is a little grotesque with the imagery, but it's totally integral to the plot. It's like if The Fly and the Barbie movie had a baby. I like to That's a fun
That's a good
analogy I
way to
like to
put
say.
it. Yeah.
But I think it's a very important movie about, female beauty standards and ageism, and it goes to the very, very extreme. But I'd say it's more than worth it. If you're not a huge horror person, but you still want to have a great time, I would definitely recommend it. It's free on Mubi right now, which is Mubi. You can get it on Roku, Apple TV, I would definitely check it out.
I would recommend going to see it in the theater if you can. I
Yes,
think it's still
I did
playing.
see it. Yeah, if you can as well. I saw it in theaters, and that's one that will stick with me for sure.
And I'll also give everyone a warning. It is quite explicit. So if you do go see it with your aunts and or nephews or nieces, make sure everyone is able to handle it.
Perfect. Yes, I could not agree more.
And as for as usual, I'll promote our Patreon. If you'd like to support us with a few bucks every month, you can head over there and do that. And as usual, Ken Jeong, you still have an open invitation to be a guest on this podcast whenever you're free. And also, you can anyone who's listening, you can if you want to hear more of my thoughts about entertainment, you can go to my blog, jmoney.com. And something I've got coming up, I'm running the Philadelphia Marathon in a few weeks. So if anyone wants to hang out in the city of brotherly love on the morning of November 24th, you can see me running 26.2 miles through the city. Hopefully I make it through okay.
Let's hope so.
Have you ever run a marathon?
I have not. I know the marathon was a couple days ago. I had some friends that were participating, and they're better than I. I need to get into better shape before I attempt that. But not something I'm disinterested in.
Have you ever run any race of any distance?
Not since 8th grade gym class, but
Okay.
I do
All
walk a
right.
lot in this big city that we live in. So I definitely get my steps in every day, if that's what you're wondering.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I wasn't being I'm not your Garmin incarnate, if you were implying anything like that.
No.
And I'll also
All right.
recommend for something non-spooky, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? A game show that recently premiered on Amazon Prime. It's kind of a reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? It's hosted by Travis Kelce. And a
Oh,
group,
wow.
a panel of celebrities helps p contestants answer grade school level questions. I've enjoyed it so far. It's a pretty good family-friendly option. And if you'd like to leave us a review, please do. We'll read it on air. You could just do that in a podcast app, or you could go to ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. And we're still on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram. And we're also on the one that's owned by the ridiculous billionaire, which I don't feel like mentioning now. But anyway, Yeah, so that's everything. Kiara, once again, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. I hope you
thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you. And Aunt Beth, wish you were here today as well, but we'll catch you on the next one. And thank you so much for having me. We'll see you next time.
All right. And I'll say Aunt Beth's closing statement in her stead. She usually says, "What is good night?" And then I'll say my outro, which is, "Keep your emotes handy and your eyes open."